Appreciate what the Lord's done for us today. I've had a good morning. A little tired and weak in my body, but I had done my best to preach in the morning hour, Sunday school hour, and I want to do the same by the help of God here in the preaching hour. Now we're going to be in Psalm 37 again. I was there last Sunday morning in Sunday school, there this morning in Sunday school. We're in Psalm 37 again this morning in the preaching hour. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, that'd be all right. And you pray for me that God will give me some physical strength and a little bit of spiritual wisdom and understand that I know how to preach this morning by the help and grace of God. I want to thank all of you that's helped us on our home. And I ask you to pray that we'll get it behind us. I'd like to see it behind us. I'm getting tired and a little weary, and Miss Hall's getting high inhaling paint, and she's ready to lay that paintbrush aside too. And so you pray that we'll get the home done and get in it pretty quick, and I think that we will within the next couple of 2 or 3 weeks by God's good help. I appreciate what help you folks have been to us. Lord bless you for that. Psalm number 37 now. And when you find that, let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 37. I want to read 3 verses this morning. And let's begin in verse number 23. That'll be our text verse. The Bible said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Again, verse 23, our text verse, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Let's pray. My Father, I pause just for a few moments to thank you for the grace that's already been given this morning. Thank you for being a present help in trouble. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the good testimonies, how they move my heart, the good singing. It was a blessing. Thank you for your presence. I pray now that you'll save sinners. God, that you'll revive your people, direct our bark, help us, I pray, as we move through life, to look unto God from which cometh our help. Bless us and give us that which we stand in need of. Meet every heart, the longings of every soul. Satisfy your children with bread from heaven this morning. May your name be extolled and magnified, honored and worshipped in this place. And we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. For what little bit of mind I've had for the last few days, I've been meditating a little bit upon verse number 23, where David said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And I've got really two titles to the message. The title's kind of like I say, a curl in a pig's tail. Kind of cute. Doesn't add any flavor to what I'm going to say at all. I'm going to say what God wants me to say with or without a title to the message. But I was thinking last night about preaching on the thought out of control. I thought, well, that's the negative side of it, and I'm going to be more or less on the positive side of it. So I want to try to preach maybe this morning on the thought of safe driving. I've thought this week about the steps of a good man and how they're ordered by the Lord. And anything outside of that is out of control. If God is not in control of your life, then you're out of control. If He is not ordering your steps, then your life is really chaotic and you're not in control at all. And I saw something interesting yesterday. I'll try to convey it to you this morning by way of introduction that I think might help the message. I picked up a newspaper yesterday and carried it to the house and began to read it. Now, don't any of you ladies panic, and don't want any of you to leave the church and head off to Tennessee. But I read in the paper yesterday where there is an annual yard sale in Tennessee. It's 450 miles long. Can you imagine that many women scrambling to a yard sale 450 miles long? Brother, I'll tell you, that's enough to cause turmoil right there. But in that yard sale, the article went on to say that there was a tractor trailer. Now, I didn't read all of it. Miss Hall told me later that the tractor trailer was driven by a woman. And for some reason or another, that trailer skidded out of control and rammed into the back end of another automobile, drove that automobile 550 feet down through those booths and down through those tables where folks had their yard sale material. In the windup of it, there was two people killed, I believe, and 17 injured. And that woman that was driving the truck told the law that her brakes failed and her vehicle went out of control. Well, you know, really, her brakes might have failed, but if she had had that vehicle in control, she probably wouldn't have been driving nearly as fast as she was. I jotted this down. You're out of control when you start speeding. I tell you, some of you need to slow down and wait on God. I said in the Sunday school hour this morning that time means nothing to God, and it ought not to mean anything to you. And we ought to wait upon the Lord because He is worth waiting on. And you might be out of control when you start speeding. You can't control something at a high rate of speed. You might be out of control when you start swerving. Some of you may be swerving just a little bit in the path that God's ordered for you. Amen. That's a good sign that you're out of control. That you've departed from God a tad bit, and you started running your life instead of letting God control your own life and run your life for you. I said you're out of control when you start spinning. A lot of fellas think they can take off fast in serving God, but all they do is spinning their wheels. You're out of control. That's the way I was. I got saved, called to preach. I was ready to go out and whip the world. I wasn't doing a thing but sitting in the church, spinning my tires, had absolutely no control over what was going on, didn't have enough sense to realize that God was in control and that God was a-running my life. Now, you may be out of control when you start skidding. Amen. A lot of folks on the skid today. We're in a mess in America. Brother, we can talk about the White House, but I'm more concerned about what's going on at the church house than I am what's going on at the White House. Because if we can get our house right, the church house will be right. If we get the church house right, the White House will be right. Because if God's people go, so goes the society around them. Amen. And brother, there's a problem at the house of God. I'm satisfied a lot of folks doing nothing but playing church. We need to dig in, get a hold of God, and realize that we're in a race for life, and life is about over, and all we've got to do is live for God and the glory of God, and God will take care of everything else for us. Buddy, we're in a mess. I'll tell you why we're in a mess. We're living like they did in the days of the judges when every man is doing what's right in his own eyes. Buddy, it's time we stop doing what's right in our eyes and let God run our lives and control our lives and order our steps. And if God's ordering our steps, He will delight in the way that we're going. Somebody said, oh, we might fall, Brother Hall. Yeah, but if we fall, He shall lift us up again. For He shall uphold us by His power. Somebody said, what if God deserts us? Hey, I once was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, or God's seed a begging bread. But in the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, yes, sir. Now, I've got some quotes I want to read for you. Just hang in there. Charles Spurgeon said, all his course of life is graciously ordained. And in loving kindness, all is fixed, settled, and maintained. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. I won't say that again. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. He said that we're to run the race with patience that's set before us. How on heaven's name can you run a race, my friend, if the course has not already been laid out? It'd be kind of hard for a race car driver to go up to Charlotte or Indianapolis and the speedway be going and the announcer say, "All right, men, get out there in your automobiles, get on the racetrack and start driving and running your course." Those men would look at that man like a fool and say, "Where is the course we're to run on?" I'm telling you that God has devised a course and a plan for all of us, and it's our responsibility to get on course and stay there by the grace of God. And if we'll obey God, be obedient to God, He will order our steps in His plan. That's right. Spurgeon said, "There's no reckless fate, no fickle chance rules us. Our every step is the subject of divine decree." I'm telling you, there's no reckless driving with a child of God. Not if they listen to God. I've heard men say, "Oh, brother so-and-so's out of the will of God." How long has he been out of the will? Oh, 7, 8, 10 years. No, he ain't out of the will of God. He's lost. He's a lost man. Son, I'm telling you, there's no reckless driving when you let God have the control of the helm. Amen. I saw a car some time ago that had written on a bumper sticker on it, said, "God is my co-pilot." Now, I wouldn't have been so ignorant as to display that kind of spiritual stupidity in the presence of anybody. Honey, God is not your co-pilot. I'm telling you, God is your pilot. He's running the show. I don't mean to sound harsh, but that business, "God is my co-pilot," is Arminianism. I can take myself out of His hand. I can put myself in His hand. I can live for Him, or I don't have to live for Him. I'm telling you, friend, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God's in control of your life. God's a running your life. He'll start you out at destination A and carry you safely over to the harbor of grace on the other side. That's right. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, how do you know that?" I know it because I've read the book of Romans chapter number 8 for one thing. Amen to God. For we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Somebody said, "I don't believe in predestination." Get born again, you will. Amen to God. I'm telling you, every child of God that has ever trusted Him, the moment they trusted Him, they fell under a divine decree to be predestinated to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of maybe, hope so, or will it. Honey, I'm telling you, it's a guaranteed decree that on the other side we'll come out in the image and the likeness of our Heavenly Father who began us. Amen! Somebody said, "I don't like that. Get me a Baptist and you will." But I ain't preaching nothing. Baptist ain't preached for hundreds of years. I believe Jesus preached what I'm preaching now. Amen to God. Somebody said, "Oh, we'll fall by the wayside and not make it." Not a chance. We're kept by the power of God. I'll tell you one thing, in this race I'm running, I may have to make a pit stop every now and then. But honey, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is always there. If my tires are slick, He'll give me a new set. If my oil's running low, He'll fill me up. When I run out of gas, He'll throw in high test. Honey, I'm telling you, God is always there to give me what I need. I got up this morning, I told Miss Hall, I said, "I don't believe I'm going to make it today." And I'm going to tell you, about halfway through Sunday school, I got rejuvenated. I got filled up with high test, buddy. I'm telling you, God will see you through. James Janeway made this statement. He said, "When this pilot undertakes to steer their course, their vessel shall never split upon the rock, run upon the sands, or spring a leak so as to sink in the sea. To be sure, He will see them safe into the harbor." Honey, I'm telling you, in Luke's gospel, when Jesus commanded that crowd of disciples to get on the ship and travel to the other side, hey, He knew quite well they would make it to the other side. Through the storm that came,
the winds that blew, the floods that beat against that little boat still bless your heart. Jesus knew that they'd safely make it to the other shore. I'm telling you, let the winds blow, let the storms come, let the devil rage, let the world burn and go to hell, buddy. I'm a going to glory. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, and I ain't a looking back. Now, this ought to help some of you women. Notice that second verse. He said, though he fall, verse 24, he shall not be utterly cast down. Now, here is what Mary Duncan, she's a woman, 1864, she wrote this in a book, and the book was entitled Under His Shadow. I'd like to find that book. Hallelujah to God, I want to be under His shadow. Thanks be unto God, that's where I want to dwell. Under the canopy of His love. Basking in His marvelous love and grace. Enjoying sovereign providence and divine grace and predestination. Somebody said, oh, you're getting off on the deep end. Oh, no, I'm not off on the deep end, honey. I got in on the shallow end, but the water's starting to get a little bit deep now, and I'm enjoying swimming in the sunlight and the water for the love of God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Listen to what that woman said. She said, these are strange words to us. Said, the very steps, all ordered, and that by an almighty one who delights in the goodness of the good, or delights in the goodness of the good man's way, and yet the inference so distinctly to be drawn is that the good man may fall. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But the next verse said, though he fall. Somebody said, can we fall? Oh, yes. But if you fall seven times, the Lord will pick you up again. That's all part of the plan of God. Somebody said, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. I'm telling you what God's given me, what the Bible says. Honey, our steps are ordered by God. He knows the snares. He knows the traps. He knows the pits. He knows the stumbles. He knows the falls. And thank God when I fall, He's there to pick me up. Amen. That's right. He said, we may fall, and that it is God and guide, and that His God and guide may stand by and behold and permit me to fall. But yet, He has the precious assurance that if He fall, He shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord allows us to fall at times to purge us. To purge us. Somebody said, how can falling purge me? Hey, honey, falling will teach you a little bit of humility. And under God, we need a whole lot of humility today. Falling will train you to keep your eyes on the path you're treading. I believe the word there is equity. It'll purge us from sin. It'll test our faith. And it gives God an opportunity to bestow more grace upon us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Job said in Job chapter 14 and verse number 16, he said, for now thou numberest my steps. Everybody look right up here at me. Honey, God knows the first step you took in life. And God knows when you're going to take the final step in life. For it's appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. I thank God I serve a God, friend, that is all-knowing. He's an omniscient God that was aware of the first step I took as a toddling infant. And God will be aware of the last step that I make when I lay my eyes down in death. Hallelujah to God. You think it surprised God at 3 o'clock our time on last Monday morning when my mama slipped out into eternity? Huh? You think it shocked God when my daddy laid his hand up under the covers of that bed on that Sunday night in that hospital and tears running down his eyes and down his cheeks and tears running out the corner of mama's eyes, and with that little old hand with Parkinson's began to pat my mama on the hand? He said, Mary, I'll see you again. I don't know when, but I'll see you again. I'll not leave you, Mary. I'll be back. I'll see you. You think that God wasn't aware of the fact that within a few hours, within matter of a few minutes, that my mama would have another heart attack, give her some medicine, fall fast asleep, and never awake out of that sleep. I'm telling you, friend, God knew that Sunday morning when mama woke up and walked to the couch and called my brother for help and sat down. God knew that that was the last step my mother would take in this life. Are you listening to me this morning? Our steps are ordered by the Lord, and God's got every one of them numbered. God knows the time of your birth. God knows the time of your death. God knows the span of your life. God knows what you'll do in life. I'm telling you, God be God. He's got the power to order our steps and lead us aright. He's the great God of heaven. He's the God of all the earth. He will not forsake us or leave us. God will be our guide, even unto death. I know that's right. Amen. Now listen what David said as a young man in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 3. He said, told Jonathan, he said, there is but a step between me and death. There's but one step between me and death. Now I've got news for you. And David found this out. David knew a little bit more when he wrote Psalm 37 than he did when he was in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. David, no doubt, was scared to death. He said, Jonathan, there's one step between me and death. But when David wrote that and said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, God had already told him, David, one step is enough. Hallelujah to God. Do you get what I said? One step between you and death is enough. Oh, yes it is. He did not know what he knew when he wrote the book of Psalms, but the Lord will always keep you and I one step ahead of death. Oh, thanks be unto God that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They may not be the one step between you and death, but that's all the space God needs to preserve you in Christ. Hallelujah to God. Ain't that wonderful? One step between me and death. That's all it takes. Now, I've got news for you. It'll never catch me. Well, somebody said, oh, yeah, it will, Brother Hall. Need to read your Bible. It may catch this body, but it won't catch me. Amen. I am not what you see. Amen. And you ain't what I see. Amen. Death ain't going to catch me. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And I'm telling you, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus appeared and he's caught up into the, I believe, up into the sky a little ways. And his white, was his clothes were become transparent and his body glistened and solid white. And there was with him Moses and Elijah. Honey, I'm telling you, they'd both done walked the veil a long, long time ago. But they weren't dead. They'd just begin to live. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, on Sunday morning, when my mama slipped out of that old 79-plus-year-old carcass of hers, wrinkled from life, beaten and battered in life, wearied from life, I mean worn down to just a nub, didn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. But when mama slipped out of that old body, hallelujah to God, she slipped into the presence of the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And death was swallowed up in victory. For 79 years, death was on the heels of my mama, but it never did touch her, because now she's a living in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me? I hope so. Hey, notice now, he said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That word step has with it the thought of a regular pace. Hey, we stay right with God, our step that he orders will be on a regular pace. In other words, it's kind of like marching. Amen. When I went in the military at Fort Knox, Kentucky, they told me, said, fall out. I didn't know what fall out meant. I said, best God, I might get hurt if I fall out. And I got a little smart, and they got a little smart too. And I learned not to get smart, because they're smarter than I was. Next morning they said, fall out, I didn't backtalk. I just fell out in the street, like they said, with my heels together and my mouth shut. Amen. They said, we're going to do a little marching. That's the way we need to be with God. Fall out with our heels together, our lips shut, and march to the step that God has ordered. That gives the idea of marching to cadence. Hup, hup, break, boil, up, pull up, pull up, right of your left, hop, hop, creep. I'm telling you, friend, that God orders our steps, and they're regular in their pace. There's no out of step, no falling behind. God orders the steps of a good man. They're regular in pace. That word also means to run over. No wonder that same David said, I have run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Did you understand what I just said? If God's ordering your steps, there's not an obstacle in this world big enough that you can't get over it. That's right. Son, I'm telling you, something may look like the Empire State Building. But honey, if God's ordering your steps, hang on. Walk up to it, reach out your foot and get ready to put it on the building. And the minute you touch it, God will give you fly's feet. Amen to God. You'll climb over the top of that building like a fly would stick to a wall. Amen to God. I'm telling you that God ordering our steps, we'll run over our enemies and our foes. I'm talking about running over sin, Satan, and this stinking society world we're living in. I'm fed up with this world, and I'm fed up with society, and I'm fed up with sin. I'm fed up with Slick Willie and Hillary. I'm fed up with all that crowd in Washington. I'm fed up with that mess. Bless God. I'm ready for the King of Kings to come and the Lord of Lords and to sit down on His throne. Hallelujah, in Jerusalem. I'm ready for Him to rule and reign with a rod of iron and to establish His government. I'm ready, thank God, for watermelons to be the size of automobiles. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, I'm ready for Jesus to come. Amen. That's right. Amen. Now get this. That word steps has with it the idea of an upward motion. Upward motion. Steps that we take, it's like the steps on the altar. I believe there's six steps on the altar. And the six steps, and you had to go up steps a step at a time to get up on the altar in the Old Testament scriptures. And they went up them one step at a time, like so, with their side to the people. Because they had a little split down here and they didn't want their nakedness to be revealed to the people. Amen. That'd be a good idea for you when you're walking with God, not to let your nakedness hang out either. I've seen something just as ugly as anything I'd ever seen in my life. A 400-pound man had more hair on his chest than he had on his head. He was bald-headed, bless God, and had hair on his chest. Didn't have any pants on, had on a little old pair of shorts. It was the most ungodliest-looking thing, mess I've ever seen in my life. I hate my grandkids to even have to look at a mess like that. Huh? But I'm going to tell you what bothers me is when God's people can call themselves holy and head out to the ball courts and slip on a pair of stinking shorts and show off their nakedness. I'm telling you, God doesn't is not interested in seeing your stinking flesh. And by the way, neither is nobody else that loves God. It means upward motion. Upward motion. Them steps is always upward. Like higher ground, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. First time I come out of Greenville, South Carolina, come up out of South Carolina into North Carolina and hit over on Interstate 40 and headed up toward Asheville. Alongside the road, the first thing I saw was a sign that said, Upward Road. I said, hallelujah to God, how'd they know I was going to be here? Amen, that's the road I'm traveling on, Upward Road. Amen to God, that's right. Each step I take, see, we don't even pay attention to song. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Hallelujah to God. One of these days we'll take that last step. What's that song Miss Hall sings about the next hand you shake? Maybe the hand of Jesus, the next step you take. God, you may be walking on streets of gold, and the next meal you eat may be the marriage supper, buddy. And the next step you take, God might be a blessing your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Now about three things and I'm done. My body's about half done now. If our steps are ordered by the Lord, then three things. Number one, we must be walking. You've got to be walking. We must be walking. Have you ever considered what a blessing it is to walk with God? I've got two Old Testament illustrations. I'll just run them through there briefly, and we'll get down through the message. But I thought of Enoch. Enoch in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 24. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, It talks about him being translated. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, I'm telling you, friend, a man or a woman that's going to walk with God, it pleases God to leave Calvary. Come to Calvary and be saved by the grace of God. When you leave Calvary, leave your cares behind. Leave your sin behind. Amen to God. Get down off of that mountain and walk with God and please God in your everyday life. Amen. I'm telling you, ain't many too many folks today that's a pleasing God. Well, ain't many folks walking with Him. He don't walk in some places other folks walk. Huh? Enoch walked with God and was not, and it pleased God. And the Bible said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9 that Noah walked with God and found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Huh? I think of both these men. Here's the thought I want to make there. Don't nobody leave me now. I'm trying to preach the best I can. Stay with me. But the typology there is important. Because Enoch walked with God. They're the only two antediluvians that the Bible says they walk with God. And Enoch walked with God and was translated. Noah walked with God and went through the flood and made it him and his family. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? Enoch is a type of the church that will be raptured out before the tribulation comes. And Noah is a type of Israel who arrived safely through the storms of the tribulation in the ark of safety with the Lord Jesus Christ. But son, here's the thought I want to make. Both of them made it.
Amen.
And by the way, they're the only ones that made it. Those two that were walking with God, hand in hand, down the Emmaus Road with the heart burning in their bosom, listening to the words of the Son of God, walking hand in hand with Christ, and they made it.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm worried about not making it. Well, you walk with God. You'll make it if you're walking with Him. Every step you take is ordered by Him. Hallelujah to God. If our steps are ordered by the Lord, our steps, we're stepping, then we must be walking. And they both made it. And I thought this morning how we're supposed to walk. We're supposed to walk by example. Peter said in his writing in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21 that the Lord, in His sufferings upon this earth, left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Oh my goodness. I'm going to tell you what, this crowd today, this crowd has got their little old Bibles, their little old signs, WWJD. I saw that on somebody's Bible. I said, what in heaven's name is WWJD? And they said, well, that means what would Jesus do? I thought, well, you know, I don't want to display. I wouldn't want to be too proud and arrogant and display that. But I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm here to tell you, that fellow Sheldon wrote a book, In His Steps. And honey, if we'd ever get in His steps and follow the darling Son of God, it'd save us a lot of heartache, preserve us from a lot of trouble and disappointment. If we'd ever follow Him, I tell you, we'd never come out in the wrong place of following in His steps. I'm just not talking about suffering. Following His steps. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To be able to walk down the path that the Master has trod. Man, I could preach right there all day, I believe. I really could. You know something? The first steps that you took might lead you along the shores of Galilee to some disheartened sailors struggling in their labors, trying to find rest and peace from God. If we walked in the steps of our Lord, it might lead us to the base of a sycamore tree, where there's an old sinner that's looking for some light in his soul.
Yes.
We followed in the steps of our Lord. It may lead us down along the road leading to Jericho, where some poor beggar man, some poor man has been robbed and left for dead in the ditch. It may lead you into the ditch, or it may lead you onto the mountaintop. It did Peter, James, and John. It led them onto the mountaintop. But I'm telling you, friend, if we had followed the steps of our Lord, we'd always be in the right place with God. Amen. We can walk by example. Did He not set an example before you in holiness, in righteousness, in love, and in mercy to follow in His steps? My God, I'm telling you, you know what Paul said to those bunch of Corinthians that was all confused and mixed up? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Are you following Him today? We sang that little song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. We sang that song, Follow, Follow, I Will Follow On. Will we walk in His footsteps? He's given us the example. The lowly Nazarene has left us with an honorable example to walk in. Not in the pathway of sin, not in the pathway of this world, but in the pathway of holiness and righteousness, we're to walk with God. That's right. We're to walk by example. Now, don't nobody leave me here. We're to walk by experience. See, when David wrote this psalm, he's an old man. For he said in verse number 25, I have been young and now I'm old. Not yet. See, the righteous forsaken are his seed begging bread. Hey, look here, folks. When will we ever learn to listen to experience and walk by experience? Huh? Brother Robert, we was out there laying down that floor. Brother Robert came into the house one morning. We had to have some nails to nail down some wood with. I know nothing about laying oak. Don't know nothing about carpenter work. Don't know nothing about nails. As I went in that morning, he said, Preacher, come here a minute. He said, would you listen to the words of an old man? I said, try to. He said, we need to get some nails that will hold this wood down. Well, I said, well, since how I don't know how to hold the wood down, maybe I better listen to somebody that's got some experience and get some nails that will hold the wood down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? David had learned, my friend, by experience that walking with God, that God had never deserted him. He had never forsaken him. Under God, that ought to soak through on you and I today, that through every dilemma and discouraging point of life, God has ordered our steps there and will walk with us through that. See, we get discouraged and get a dilemma. If Elijah hadn't been walking with God at the Brook Cherith, you know what he had done? He had done like most Baptists are doing today. Well, the brook's dried up, bless God. What's the use? But in walking with God, God said, Elijah, there's a little old widow woman down yonder. She don't even know it yet, but she's got a whole cruise of oil and a barrel of meal just down there waiting on you to get down there. If that had been most Baptists today, when that little brook dried up, we'd have crossed our legs, sat down on a stool to do nothing, said, well, bless God, I guess that's the end of the line. God left me. The steps of a good man, gentlemen, are ordered by the Lord. You know what? When he called down fire on the mountaintop and then prayed down the rain to follow it, I'm satisfied when he got word from Ahab that Jezebel was coming, he sat down again and said, God, it's all over. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm telling you, it was all in the plan, the mind, and the economy of God that Elijah sat down under that juniper tree for a while that God might display His grace and display His goodness to Elijah in the land of the living. And he sat down, that angel come over and kicked him. Said, what are you doing sleeping? Said, son, said, here's some water and bread. Rise and eat. Are y'all getting anything at all, I'm saying? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen to God. Hey, do you think John doubted when he was put on the Isle of Patmos? That had been us today, and we had been isolated for nobody's ass. Some of you folks couldn't stand 2 minutes of silence. Oh, I love Mrs. Hall. She's so thoughtful. We got home last night, and I'm telling you, hey, I'm honest. I'm not crying on your shoulder, but I'm tired. I'm upset in my body and my life, and I'm just tired of some things, and I want to get some things behind me. Miss Hall just stayed upstairs last night. She don't ever do that. I went up for about an hour. I said, "What are you doing up here?" She said, "Oh, I want to just sit up here at the table where I won't get get." Downstairs and get sleepy and sitting down there studying. I'll just study up here. And I sat down there and I sat there for a minute and the air conditioner wasn't running. And the dehumidifier wasn't running. There wasn't a peep in the house. Not a sound. And I thought, my God. I just sat there with my Bible for 3 hours. Sat in silence. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Folks, I'm telling you, some people can't stand 2 minutes of silence. Huh? But hey, old John isolated on that island of Patmos, and I'm satisfied that old John did not get anxious. He didn't get excited. He just sat down and began to pray. Before he knew it, it was the Lord's day. And old John in his spirit lifted up and said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice.
Yes!
Somebody worth it. Why, they had boiled John in oil, yeah? But I'm telling you, being boiled in oil and abandoned to an isolated island is worth just 2 seconds of the presence of the Holy One of God, who has eyes like a flaming fire, feet like brass, hair like wool, girt about the loins, my friend, and a pap with a golden girdle. Just 2 minutes in the presence of God is worth all the isolation in this world. Hallelujah to God. And John didn't have enough sense to realize when the Caesar of Rome said, "You're going to Patmos," that when he stepped down off that ship, old John might have thought, "Well, I don't know about this step," but the Lord said, "Go on, John. I have ordered it from the foundation of the world."
Yes.
Are you hearing what I ordered it, John, from the foundation of the world. When old Peter looked in Jesus' eyes and had sinned against God, and Jesus said, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" He said, "Yea, Lord." He said, "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" "Yea, Lord." "Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." The Lord said, "Simon Peter, when you was young," He said, "you walked about," and I'll paraphrase, He said, "you walked under your own strength. But," He said, "when you're old, another will gird you." And God done that signifying the way that He was going to die. Do you think it took God by surprise when that Roman emperor turned old Peter upside down? He said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified in like manner of my Lord." And they put him on a cross instead of standing upright. They spat him upside down and let the blood run to his head. And Simon Peter died one of the most horrible, horrifying, tragic deaths that a man could die. But I'm here to tell you, friend, hallelujah to God, his steps was ordered by the Lord. Glory to God. Here's one that I thought on last night. I thought about this. You know something? Every martyr that's ever been martyred, they've been burned to the stake, stoned to death. Some of them died being burned at the stake. And while they were a-dying, they were smiling and singing hymns and a-praising God for letting them die that death. Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, how on heaven's name could they do that?" I'm telling you, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And brother, while those flames were engulfing their body, and when the flames were inhaled and shot down into their lungs and charred the walls of their lungs, I'm telling you that the Lord Almighty was standing at their right side to give them comfort and give them grace and give them help in that hour of need. I'm telling you the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But here's my thought on that. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what about the Lord standing there?" My God, He couldn't have stood there if it had never been to Calvary. Did it ever occur to you that when our Lord died such a horrible death, I'm talking about in Gethsemane, bleeding drops of blood. I'm talking about in Pilate's hall. I wondered last night, ladies, if the blood on His face when He sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane was yet fresh on His brow when He stood in front of Pontius Pilate. Pontius had to look at that blood-soaked beard of our Lord and realize what had happened yonder in the Gethsemane. But our Lord, they took a cat of nine tails. They had a scourge, my friend, laced with bone and bits of steel and laid it to His back, and His back bled and His entrails protruded out. But our Lord marched on up to Calvary, and there on the cross, are you listening to me? He was forsaken of God. He stood alone without God, but He never forsook one of His own.
Amen.
He stood alone and suffered it, that ever martyr might have His blessed presence.
Yes.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, that was just an accident that Jesus died." Oh, no. When that rich young ruler approached Him and said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord looked at him and said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one." You know what He was telling that boy? He was saying, "Hey, you're calling me good, and then truly I am the good one. I'm the God, and I'm my own father." Boy, I'm telling you, that staggers my mind. I'm here to tell you what a God has. I lost my train of thought. What a God that we've got when that boy looked at Him. Amen. That little boy looked at Him, and he said, "Hey, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have riches in the next life." That little boy went away sorrowful, for he had great, great riches. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, the Lord became poor, that you and I might be made rich. I'm telling you, every step that our Lord took, are you hearing me? I know the thought now. Somebody said, well, what about the steps that He took up Calvary's brow? I'm telling you, the Lord was the only good man that ever lived. And son, His life and His death were predestined from the foundation of the world. You mark her down, buddy, when He laid that cross on His shoulder and took that first step, it was ordered by the Lord. And when He took the second step, it was ordered by the Lord. And when His knees buckled under the load, it was ordered by the Lord. And when He lifted the cross back up, it was ordered by the Lord. And when He took the last step to Calvary, it was ordered by the Lord. And when they dropped Him into the grave, it was ordered by the Lord. And when He cried, I thirst, it was ordered by the Lord. And when He said, it is finished, it is ordered by the Lord. And when He got up out of the grave, it was ordered by the Lord. Amen. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What a God. Walk by example before me and be thou perfect.
Amen.
Wonder why He wanted me to be perfect. Somebody said, can Christians be perfect? According to Bible perfection, they can. It's what God wants us to be. God wants perfection. I'm talking about spiritual maturity in our life. You do not have to get down and wallow in your sin, buddy. Mark her down. You don't have to get down and wallow in that mess. Nobody does. Amen to God. I'll tell you what was said. What was said last night. We were sitting out here somewhere eating, and Vinny mentioned about a young fellow. We support him as a missionary. And I know the young man doesn't live exactly where our church lives. And Vinny said, you know, brother, said, Daddy, said, I believe he's a good man. Said, I've been around him. I like him. Said, he doesn't exactly live exactly how we live, but said, I believe he's a good man. And about that time, Mama looked over at us and said, who does live like we do? I don't mean to sound arrogant or proud of heart, but I'm telling you, there's not many churches in America that does live like we live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Mark her down, buddy. God told Abraham, walk before me, Abraham, and be perfect. Be perfect enough that I can raise you up as an ensign that others may look at your life and shape and mold and pattern their lives after you have. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can I? Hey, he is the father of faith. Son, if you want to get an idea of what faith is, throw away that bunch of stupid Watchman Nee books and all that other junk and get the Bible and read about Abraham. God will show you about faith if you read about Abraham. That just reminded me of a verse of Scripture. Lord, ain't I having fun? Right now. Where is it at? Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years of age, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying he staggered not. Bless the Lord. Amen to God. If you want to have victory in your faith, look at the example that God set before us in Abraham, buddy. When God said the promise is yours, if you want it, walk before me and be perfect. Though Abraham set his eyes on a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. And friend, he never recanted, never looked back, never turned back, but he kept a steady course. His legs didn't buckle, his knees didn't quiver, and he never staggered at the promise of God. He just kept on walking. I'm going to tell some of you parents something. If you don't get Johnny on the stick, you kids are going to be in hell. You set double standards before him. You live one way at church and another way at home, another way downtown.
I'm telling you right now, if you don't get Johnny on the stick, your kids are going to be in hell. You know who they're watching? They're watching their mommy. And they're watching their daddy, buddy. Hey, you ought to be an ensign to them in faith. Amen to God. Stay in church. Stay with the preacher. Stay right in your heart. Come and sing. Come and worship. Honey, I tell you, you ought to worship and praise God when the service is high. You ought to worship and praise God when the service is low. Amen to God. You ought to just sing and worship God when things is right. When things is wrong, come to the house of God and show that child that you're serving God and not a building and not a preacher, but it's God you've come to worship and adore. Be an ensign. You know what? I have, that old fellow that lives right over from us, he owns a car lot up there. He may be listening this morning. I don't know. I hope he is. But we put a little old for sale sign up down there by the house. And Doug cut the grass for me today. I appreciate him cutting my grass, taking care of me. But I guess maybe he might have bumped it. It wasn't up very good anyway. In the paper, the for sale just bent over. The bottom one stayed nailed and the top one bent over. And we drove out of the driveway and it was bent over. And I said, told Brenda, I said, well, honey, our sign bent over. We have to nail that back up. And when we got home, somebody had nailed it back up. I'm going to tell you who it was. It's that old boy lives right over across the street and lives in that old metal building. Oh, my prayers that God will let us be an instant of faith in His presence. That He can look to us and watch our life for 10 and a half plus years walking with God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and when Tuesday night out of that driveway and down to the house of God. Amen. Not a fighting and a squabbling and a screaming and a cussing and a drinking, but living and by faith and walking with God, letting God order our steps and walking in sobriety circumspectly before God Almighty. I want to be an instant of faith to that old boy where he might get born again by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now that's my main point. I'll hit these other two. We're going to the house. Must be walking. If the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, we must be walking. Secondly, we must be willing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. Hey, He gives an order, but it's got to be obeyed. Did you hear what I said? We must be willing. I've already preached on faith. I can't preach on it much. I can't preach on it, don't think no more. But my first point is there must be faith. If we're going to obey Him and be willing, there must be faith. Notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're going to walk by God in a willing manner, it's got to start out in a life of faith. Then I want to say, number two, there must be full surrender. That's right. There must be full surrender. Our Lord said in Matthew 26:39, He said, Lord, He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I'm telling you, Baptists anymore, very few of them ever preach on full surrender. But I'm telling you, there is a full surrender to the will of God for your life. No wonder you stagger and reel backwards and forth. You desire to have and cannot obtain, and you war and quibble and quibble, and you can't have victory, and you live defeated. I'm telling you, friend, if you just raise up the white flag of surrender and say, God, here it is, I resign all to Thee. He needs to get some of his pocketbook. That's right. He needs to get some of y'all's pocketbook. Somebody said, well, I, Brother Hall, I give him everything but my wallet. You ain't give him nothing if you won't give him your money. Huh? Are you listening to me? Some of you need just to resign your will to God. Some of you families, you need to resign your will to God.
Amen.
Whatever God wants for my life, that's what I want. It may not be easy. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't enjoy the path I'm walking on. Do you think He did?
That's right.
Must be walking. And you must be willing. And in that willing, there must be faith and there must be a full surrender. And I want to say this, there must be a forsaking of the world. You're not going to walk with God hand in hand and have a hold of the world at the same time.
Amen.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm telling you, that's in the Bible, whether we like it or not.
Amen.
Can't
Did I give you one example of a person that tried to walk with God and hang on to the world? Are you listening? She turned into a pillar of salt. Does that ring a bell with you? You cannot walk with God in the world both. Brother Nolan used to say, if you straddle a wooden fence, it won't be long till you get splinters in your britches.
Amen.
Amen to God. It won't be. Hey, straddle a barbed wire fence, fellas. It won't be long till you come in with tore drawers. I'm telling you, you just can't straddle the fence of this world. You've got to get on one side or the other.
Amen.
This world is at enmity with God.
Amen.
And I'm just being honest with you. Or is everybody listening to Brother Hall now? It takes spiritual growth to learn to hate the world that you're living in. A baby Christian knows very little about hating this world and loving heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother Hall has been preaching now for 17, 18 years. And I've served God long enough, and I'm just being honest. I don't see any pot of gold at the foot of the rainbow in this world, buddy. It's got to be over on the other side. I've been to too many funerals. I've walked down too many cemeteries. I've seen too many of them be laid in a hole in the ground and dirt thrown over their face. To stand over that hole and say, if this is life, my God, if this is life, what do we... If this is life! If what is around us and what you can tangibly get a hold of is life, then we're all miserable people. Because the end is the grave. But hallelujah to God, I'm glad I got a better hope.
Yeah.
Though I walk through the veil with him or in the air, my friend, thank God, I've got a better hope. There's a new world coming. I might have said this last week. I'll say it again, but there have been three worlds, friend. One that was destroyed by water, one that now is, and one that is to come, where it dwelleth righteousness. I'm a look into that new world. Somebody said, will Bill Clinton be the president? They might have slick willy, folks. But if they have, it'll just be because God let them. Rulers are the hearts of the kings God holds in His hand. He sets up one and sets down another at His will, gentlemen. There must be a forsaking of the world. And I'll close with this thought this morning. Must be a walking. Must be willing. But I think we're going to have our steps ordered by God and Him delight in our way. There must be a worshiping. You hear what I'm saying? There must be a worshiping. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what is worship? I don't know if I can explain it or not. But I'm telling you, He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and truth.
Amen.
Let me read this to some of you that may not... I may not have ever had the chance to read it to. I want to read it. It's in the book of Philippians. I want to read it to you. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, I'm telling you right now, that unless you're worshiping God, I say this on the authority of the Bible, you are lost.
Amen.
He is not going to order your steps and bypass worship. Folks, He demands worship.
Amen.
Somebody said, what is worship? I don't know, but I'll explain it to you this way. I believe worship is bowing. Three times in Genesis 24. Not once, not twice, but three times in Genesis 24. When Eliezer went to get Isaac's bride and he got word from God or something good happened, he bowed his head and worshiped God. I'm telling you that worship is a bowing. You know what? Hey, you know what somebody said, Brother Hall? Anybody can bow. But I'm telling you, it's not just a bowing with your head, buddy. It's a bowing with your heart. It is a humbling of your heart. And what it manifests or reveals is the fact that you're tender-hearted and not stiff-necked.
Amen.
Or you can do this and be a stout in your heart, bless God, as a sycamore, as a oak tree. But if you ever learn to bow that heart and humble that heart like a will, I mean, he just humbled his heart, bowed that heart, and worshiped God.
I'm telling you, there's some of you in here I never see at the altar to pray.
Amen.
I never see a hand raised. I never to praise God. I never see you at the altar in prayer. I never see a head bowed in prayer. I never see one hint that there's any worship about you at all.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be ugly, folks. God knows my heart. I'm trying to help our church.
Amen.
Do you want to walk with God? Huh? Man, I'll tell you, I'd rather walk with Him than anybody I know.
Yes.
Huh? Let Him order your step. I tell you, He'll order it. He'll order it in worship if we let Him bow it. Then I want to say, worship is a bidding. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth do you mean a bidding? Hey, repeatedly, and I saw six of them this morning. I'm not going to turn them. I'm going to mention them. But six times in the New Testament Scripture, Christ was approached and they bid Him to do something and they worshiped Him. In other words, I think it was that little old woman that had a daughter who was grievously ill. And she approached the Lord and she said, Lord, would You come to my house? My daughter is grievously ill. And she worshiped Him. Six times. Every time they asked something of God, they worshiped Him. Now, friend, hey, you hear what I'm telling you? We have no right to expect God to grant one prayer of ours or to give us one iota of grace in this life if we're not willing, when we bid Him, to include worship in that bidding. Or in our asking. Bidding is simply asking. Ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
But you better do it with a worshipful spirit and heart. It's a bidding, folks. It's a bidding. And then I want to say this, and I throw this in, and I believe worship is a begging.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you mean a begging? Just like a few weeks ago when I mentioned that old dog. He came up and laid his head down on his master's hand and began to lick his hand. All that old dog wanted was a biscuit. And the only way he knew to get it was to worship his master and to beg his master for it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Folks, worship is begging. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, we don't have to beg God for nothing. We name it and claim it. Oh, you're in the wrong church.
Amen.
Your church is down here on the highway. You need to go on down there. You're in the wrong place. We don't name nothing and claim it. Could you tell me what a beggar could demand from God? We're beggars, folks. And if we'll put on the apparel of a beggar now, someday we'll put on the garments of a king.
Yes.
But you try to put on the garments and the apparel of a king now, you will rot in hell in the garments of a beggar for eternity.
Right.
It's begging. And finally, I'll close with this. Worship is beautiful.
Amen.
Worship God in the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there is no lovelier sight nowhere than to see God's people prostrate on their face, honoring God. I'll close with this illustration. God will let me. When I was in Bible college, I'll never forget one night, son, it broke out. And it broke out in chapel. I'm talking about at the 7 o'clock, 7:30 hour. I don't remember what time we had chapel, 7:30, I guess. Had 2 45-minute classes. 7:30 probably, chapel time. And I don't even remember who preached, but I'm telling you, as Brother Sammy Allen would say, it got on. I mean, it was on. Son, people was just praising God up and down them hallways. I've never seen such a sight in all my life in Kentucky. But I was praying and just a praising God, and men and girls and ladies just walking, teachers, instructors, walking over that building with their hands up just praising God and shouting the victory and thanking God. Some are crying, some laughing, some kneeling, some running, some standing. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. But I turned from that chapel and headed up toward the auditorium. Seemed like the Holy Ghost said, you need to go up that way. And just go up that way. And I said, God wants me to go up into the auditorium. And I walked up that corridor that leads up into that auditorium out of the chapel. And as I walked by another little corridor that went down into some Sunday school rooms, the Holy Ghost said, turn in here. Now, y'all may think I'm nuts, but I'm telling you, I'm not nuts. If you've ever been there, honey, you wouldn't take nothing for it. I turned down that little quarter, and I heard some groanings and moanings. I heard utterings that I'm telling you that I don't believe it would be lawful for my ears to utter out in public. No, sir. And God said, I want you to just open the door and go in there. And when I opened that door and walked in, you can believe what I'm telling you. You don't have to believe it. But I'm telling you, there was a host of people, Bible college students, all men, some of the teachers in that Sunday school room, there must have been 60 of them. They were on their face, on their knees, some up in the corner, some standing up looking up against the wall with their hands up on the wall. And those men were just, they wasn't screaming and hollering. They were just adoring and worshiping God. You can believe this or not, but honey, I'm telling you, there was a haze and a thick cloud in that room like I've never seen before in my life. I'm telling you, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He'll order them into a place of worship. God will teach you how to worship Him. I've never seen anything like it. All those men, God said, just go on in there and do what they're doing. I just went in, son, and I'm telling you, it was rapture divine, Brother Jerry. Are you hearing me? Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You've got to be walking.
Amen.
You've got to be willing. You've got to be worshiping if you're going to walk with God.
Amen.
Let's stand together.